In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our text for this day is from the second chapter of Colossians, beginning there at the sixth verse. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So far our text. It's no secret that our society lives under severe stress and strain. And most astute commentators would confess that this strain goes deeper than even the ups and downs, the yo-yos of the economy, or of the changes in political party. The stress is not so cosmetic. It's more fundamental and organic. It marks Western culture as a whole, and perhaps even the whole human community. And the source, the fundamental root of all this turmoil, is the question, who are we? Recently, I read a little article in a philosophical journal. And there, a very prominent and famous philosopher was lamenting his profession. He said, "We no longer consider basic first-order questions, and we're frank to admit that we've given up on them. We don't have the tools to answer, as Aristotle thought he had, or even Leibniz, the fundamentals of human purpose, and why mankind is here on this globe, and why he is to function at all." And so, in a kind of sad way, this article ends wishing that he could have been born at another time and been a philosopher in the classic mold, even though perhaps from this vantage point wrong, nevertheless eager and anxious to engage the most difficult of human questions. Well, now that departure point provides a wonderful ground for St. Paul's words to fall in. For Paul says, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, beware lest you be spoiled through philosophy." Fundamentally and foundationally, your view of reality and mine is different than any other human community ever formed. And our different viewpoint begin with our baptism. We live and move and have our being in Christ. It's from his baptism, from his identity with our humanity, our sinfulness. And it's through our baptism, our identity with his person and work, his perfect and holy life, his atoning death for the sins of all men. Our justification is rooted in him, so that now we truly know where we've come from. We know where we're going, and we're even bold enough under God's word to say how God would have us act in the interim. Indeed, that's where your pastoral ministry and our life at the seminary comes down to grassroots. How are we to study Greek, or how are we to be professors in a way that will promote and that will articulate a view of mankind that is at odds with every other philosophy? Just as this philosopher said he couldn't say who man was, he used ethics as an illustration of how man no longer knows what to do. He submits that there is not one ethicist who is prepared to defend an ought. That is to say, you should do this, or you must do this. This is right, because that imperative always implies a prior indicative. And St. Paul knew that as well as any modern philosopher. He knew that apart from a clear statement of who man is, no one can say what mankind is to do. And God in Jesus Christ pronounced the grandest indicative of all time. And it became reality for you and for me in our baptism, where all his benefits and all his blessings, indeed our very being and character, was bestowed upon us. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. And so we live in Jordan's waters, identifying with our Savior, not submitting to the world that we have any rights, any fullness or fulfillment that we deserve apart from Him, apart from His purpose for us and His love for us. And it's my prayer that all the comfort and all the enjoyment of that vision can continually, through the Spirit's working, lift your hearts and mine. As St. Paul says, have joy, rejoice. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And I'd like to submit that, in a way, your ministry here and later in the church should never go far beyond fundamentals. All of us need this totally Christological vision. The minute our gaze drifts to our own intellect, to our own piety, we begin to fall apart. Our character, our being, our purpose begin to erode. And indeed, in the church today, we have, as Satan always has, an attempted erosion of fundamentals. People begin to wonder, what is it to be a man? What is it to be a woman? How are we to live? Well, we'll find no answer, no current applications apart from this text from St. Paul. It's in Christ. It's in our baptism. In our pilgrimage, as the ancient Israelites relied upon manna, so we rely upon the Lord's Supper. It's in those holy truths of God's Word that we must forever define our own discipleship and the church's mission. We're one with the saints of old, and so let's boldly go forth to this world with a parched and a barren view of mankind and offer them this new identity, this new being in Christ, that of a forgiven child of God, purchased with a price, one not for futility or philosophy, but one for service and for a Te Deum of thanks to a mercy that surpasses all our understanding, openly displayed on the cross, openly offered to all, openly and eagerly seeking all. May God grant you those fundamentals in your baptism and in your walk towards the Christ who walks with you. Amen.